You're not the bad guys. We are.
Six Nation stuff, okay? That was fine. It was great. We love it. This is the real thing. We're back in the United Rugby Championship. It is round number 12, Munster versus the Ospreys in the Swansea.com stadium in Swansea in Wales. And it's a massive game for Munster. It really is. This is a game where a lot of our ideal plans this season hinge on what happens in this game. And look, it's eminently winnable for sure, but I think if you look at the I suppose just how well Ospreys have done at home for the most part, on the face of it at least, it's a tough one. And I think looking at how the league table is kind of breaking down at the moment, with the teams that are currently ahead of us that are within range, because we're 6 points off the Bulls and Glasgow Warriors in second and third, but we are level in we're joint fourth at the moment with Edinburgh and Ulster. They're ahead on wins. Well, Edinburgh are ahead on wins because it's wins first in this league. So there, Edinburgh and Ulster are down in South Africa this weekend and for the next weekend. So if those games go the way they tend to go, which is a loss, very difficult games down in South Africa. If we win this game against the Ospreys and next week against Cardiff, on which I'm commentating the game on the radio, Live 95, Limerick's Live 95, it's there for Munster to, not lock down, but with, at that stage, it'll be 4 games left in the regular season. We'll be in pole position to lock down fourth, and maybe have a cut-off third as well, depending on how the Bulls do and how Glasgow do over the next couple of weeks. The Bulls, of course, have to come back up to the Northern Hemisphere for a short tour of their own, and we also get to play and deal with them directly as well in Loftus-Versfeld. So, you know, that's going to be a fairly important run into the season, but if we can win this game against the Ospreys, who are currently 10th, then we have a very decent chance of being in the right spot as we head into the business end of this season. So it's not like last year. Last year was far more pressing when it came to even just qualifying. We're in a decent spot right now, but at the same time, a loss here could be quite damaging as well, because we're only 4 points ahead of Stormers and Ospreys, who are on 30 points. The Lions as well are on 29. They're lurking there. Like, I think that the Lions are a decent side. They're playing Connacht this weekend. So there's nothing for certain at this stage of the season, but we know that a win against the Ospreys in this game will put us on the path to where we want to be. Like I said, I think I said it a few times in this little mini block between February and March, that and the early going of April, that if we can pick up 20 points out of the 4 games that we will play, we've already got 10, there's 10 left on the table. If we can get 20 in total, we'll be doing very, very well. Even 19 is a really good return. But if we can get the 20, that makes life that little bit easier when we go into, you know, we have to play Edinburgh away, we have to play the Bulls away, we will be playing the Lions away as well, which is a tough one, because again, we know how difficult that was the last time we played them down there. By the end of the game, it looked like we were running through waist-high water. That's how tiring it was playing at altitude against the legions of big men that they seem to just have roaming around there on the high veld. So that's the equation of it. We have 2 home games, obviously, at the end of the season against Ulster and against Connacht that we need to win. You need to win your home games. That's undeniable. But if you trace all that back, the easier route to a home knockout game, which we badly want and need, actually, I would say, is winning this game tonight in the Swansea.com stadium. As an aside, I find the .com names on stadiums to be really annoying. If they said the Swansea Stadium, like, that's actually pretty cool. But like Swansea.com, no. As another aside to that, my order, my shopping grocery order is coming this morning. So if I have to stop this halfway through and you see there's a kind of a rough enough edit, they've arrived at the door. So yeah, back to the match. So let's just have a quick look at the teams. First of all, let's have a quick chat about the Ospreys. Because as I wrote there in the Red Eye yesterday on this, they're actually, like, they're doing really well, like, relatively speaking. Like, I think when you, I suppose when you think about how the Welsh clubs in general, or regions, whatever you want to call them, how badly they've suffered over the last couple of years, really post-COVID, the players they've lost, the budgets that they've had slashed in them, it's a miracle that the Ospreys are performing at the level that they have been this season, where they're 10th, as I said there, they're a win off the playoff spots. It shouldn't be. Like, I was looking there during the week at the players that they lost in the last, just this season. But you could go back another two seasons and the amount of talent they've lost relative to the guys that they've got going in. Like, they're losing, like, even just this year coming, they're losing George North. Now, to be fair, he wouldn't have been playing anyway because he's got he injured his Achilles for Wales, which is a right shame altogether. But, like, the talent they've lost, and the other guys who you look at being big targets going forward for the English clubs, like Jack Morgan is a guy who I could see being a big target for an English club next season. Dewey Lake is another fella. But just look, the guys they've lost this season, right? Stephen Myler, who the last time we actually played the Ospreys in the Swansea.co.biz stadium, kicked us off the field. Like, he was unbelievable off the tee in that game and won the game for them off the tee. Tian Thomas Wheeler, like, that was a guy who you know he's regularly played against Munster for the Ospreys in games like this. He's often playing in Japan with, this is the most emerging Ireland tour name, by the way, I've ever heard, Toyota Industries Shuttles Aichi. I can just see emerging Ireland playing them in a few years. Joe Hawkins went to Exeter, obviously. That was a big loss for the Ospreys. He's obviously a really talented young player. Ethan Roots went off to join Exeter last season. He is now, he's got three caps for England, right? Dan Lydiate left for the Dragons. Bradley Davis retired and Dan Evans retired. They're two guys who you've seen repeatedly playing against Munster in the URC or the Pro 12 or whatever it was, or Pro 14. You have Dan Evans, Elvis Tyone retired. Matthew Aubrey, Scott Baldwin retired as well. Tomas Francis went to Provence. Reese Webb went to Biarritz. Alwyn Jones went to Toulon and then retired. Then you look at Michael Collins went to, oh, here's another really good one, Toshiba Brave Lupus Tokyo. No, that's pretty good. Like, I could see, I'm imagining Evan O'Connell playing against those guys right now. Gareth Anscombe went to Tokyo Sun Goliath. Sam Cross went to Newcastle Falcons. That's a lot of players out. And when you look at the guys that they got in, the permanent signings they made, Luke Davis from the Jersey Reds, James Ratty, who used to play for the Ospreys a few years ago, came back from Cardiff. They signed in Cameron Jones. They got Ethan Lewis in from Saracens, Toby Fricker, two Welsh qualified guys from the Bristol Bears and Saracens. And then it's just a lot of loans, like Daniel Kesende, Ruan Kruger, and Marinus van der Merwe. Like, these were all guys who they've brought in, and like, they're, I think they're actually still with them. I think some of them are, at least anyway. They've got one of them actually, is this the flanker today that they have? I think he's actually a permanent signing, actually, him. Jeandre Rudolph. He's coming from the Pumas. He's starting for them today. So they've patched together, like, along with the quality they have, like Adam Beard, great player. Dewey Lake, great player. Nicky Smith, really fucking dangerous scrummager as well, by the way. Like, the likes of George North, Jack Morgan. Luke Morgan, Alex Cuthbert, who's playing today, Keelan Giles, who isn't playing today. But like, they have, or is he playing today? Maybe I should check that out. But yeah, no, like they have quality, but the talent they've lost from that squad and the way they've had to patch up their team during the season. Nope, baby monitor needs to be charged. I'll just turn you off because you shouldn't have beeped there. But yeah, that's kind of like, when you think about it, super impressive that their budget's been slashed, obviously. They've lost a lot of top level guys. They have a bunch of guys there as well, by the way, who are, they're kind of coming towards the tail end of their career, Justin Tipperick, but who are fantastic players and who've been great players for the Ospreys over the last couple of years. So, like, it's very difficult. Like, this is the kind of game that, I mean, we lost the last fixture we played against the Ospreys in Swansea. Like, we beat them out the gate last year at home, but that was one of those games where you're at home, you know, and the Ospreys at the time were in a fairly bad place. There was talk of strikes. There was talk of, geez, about, you know, were they able to field the team? I remember that was the conversation this time last year. But yeah, I think that Toby Booth has made that change to them and has made them very stable by just implementing the kind of the game plan that most smart coaches do when they come into a situation, which was, by the way, 4 years ago, which when they come into a situation that is kind of out of control, they strip the game back to basics. Now, that doesn't work for every team. Like this week, for example, Richie Murphy is taking over at Ulster. Does he need to strip their game back to basics? No, I don't think he does. Their game was already kind of back to basics, so to speak. But like the Ospreys, when Toby Booth took over, they won two games the season that he took over. Like he took over the year after, but they won two games in the entire regular season that year in the United Rugby Championship. Or, well, no, it was the Pro 14 or whatever it was at the time. So, like, that obviously, you know, that shows that there's big problems there. The first thing they look to do is, can they make themselves tough to beat? That's what the Ospreys have done. They've lost once at home all season, right? Against Glasgow. It was 31-21, I think the score was in that. I watched it back. Like, that was 4 or 5 maul tries that the Warriors scored in that game. They found it very difficult to break down this Ospreys team, who, by making themselves difficult to beat, obviously, they're not the best side from an attacking perspective, just some of their numbers aren't great. They're more than capable of scoring tries, by the way. But what they did initially under Toby Booth was become an off-ball team. Now they're a team who plays a kind of a mid-level variant of counter-transition rugby with a big focus on their scrum set piece and their offensive transition. That's kind of where their offensive side of the ball is. Defensive side of the ball, they're about forcing turnovers and then playing off those turnovers. Now, there's a reason why they're 10th. They have the third most turnovers won in the United Rugby Championship this season. Really, really good in that regard. Their kicking plays into that, right? So if you look at their kicking game, they kick the third most out of all the teams in the United Rugby Championship this season, and they kick the second most amount of meters. So if you're looking at the Ospreys in this game, if they play the way they've been playing all season, they will be kicking the ball an awful lot. You will see the likes of Yestin Hopkins, Owen Williams, Reuben Morgan Williams, and Kieran Williams, all the Williams, hammering the ball down the field. This is the long, like we'll say, the long distance counter transition game that they play. Now, the reasoning why they play this style of game is that, one, it's low risk, right? Their general play will be, if they win the ball back or have the ball in their own half of the field, they'll play a few phases to work themselves into position, be it for a box kick exit or an exit off first receiver, or in the pocket. But that's all they will do. Like, they will play those phases very, very tight. They won't overplay those at all. Then they'll just exit long down the field. And that's where their build comes. Oh, Keelan Giles is playing in this game, by the way. So you will see Alex Cuthbert, Boshoff, Keelan Giles, and then there, Jandre Rudolph, Justin Tipperick, Morgan Morris. You will see those guys hearing down the field to advance their transition line, okay? So what they will have looked at on Munster this season so far is that when teams kick the ball to Munster, we don't give it back, or we don't want to give it back. So we will go into offensive transition, then we'll go into those post-transition phases, but then we'll go into settled phase play off the back of that. We will be very comfortable playing that style of game. Offensive transition, the very first one, that's the first phase, maybe the second phase. Post-phase transition, that's, or your post-transition phases rather, that's phase 2 to phase 4. And then settled phase play is usually phase 4 up to phase whatever. We're comfortable going phase 4 to whatever. You know, we have a team to do that. That's how we train. That's how we play. So the Ospreys will be aware of that. So for them, I think the game hinges on them kicking the ball as they do all season. That's how they've played. They kick the ball long. They chase hard up on the edges. They will look to get the likes of Tipperick. They will get the likes of Jandre Rudolph and Morgan Morris, never mind Nicky Smith and Sam Parry, over the ball at the breakdown. That's where they will look to try and force turnovers on us. And if they can get a knock on, if they can get something like that, they love that as well. They have a very, very good scrum, primarily due to Nicky Smith, who is a really, really dangerous scrummager. We'll have to be very, very careful of that aspect of it. So they know we want to hang on to the ball. They'll look at that as being, this is an opportunity for us to turn them over at the breakdown. That will be their thought process, I think, coming in, and a big focus for them will be looking to disrupt our possession to, you know, maybe, like, you look at their line speed, they do play with it with a good bit of line speed. When you play this style of game, you have to. But what they also tend to do then is, once they get that turnover, then you'll see a lot of passing from them. They'll work the ball to the edges. They will, like, they don't do a whole load of offloads, for example. A lot of their stuff is, like pass first. I think they have one of the lowest number of offloads in the league. But that's how they want to play. They will have a cut off us on transition if they see a gap, if we kick the ball to them loosely. The likes of Keelan Giles, Cuthbert as well, Yestin Hopkins. These are all guys who are going to be dangerous on transition for them. But that's kind of how they'll approach the game. They're actual back three, Yestin Hopkins, Alex Cuthbert, and Keelan Giles. Really quick, really dangerous, a guy to watch. Ivardi Boshoff and Kieran Williams, Aaron midfield of them. Boshoff is a relatively new signing as well. We will be looking to try and isolate him on those settled phase play phases or those post-transition phases, because he won't be there too long. He'll be learning the ropes for them on their defensive system. Halfbacks, Owen Williams and Ruben Morgan Williams. Up front, in the front row, Nicky Smith, Sam Parry and Tom Botha, with James Ratty and Rhys Davies in the second row. Jandre Rudolph, Justin Tipperick and Morgan Morris round out their back five. You look at their back five there, by the way. They have James Ratty, who I would call as a heavy combo flanker, with Rhys Davies as a light enough loose head lock. With, again, Jandre Rudolph, small forward, Morgan Morris, small forward, and Justin Tipperick, another combo flanker. A relatively light build in their back five. We should be looking to try and rinse them in the mall if we can. There's an it that we can get at them there. They'll also be feeling that the weight isn't really there for them in the scrum, that we can get after them there. Our tight head side is going to be very, very big in this game. So how we use that is going to be hugely important. On their bench for them, they have Lewis Lloyd, Garen Phillips, Rhys Henry, Hugh Sutton, Harry Deaves, Cameron Jones, Jack Walsh and Owen Watkin. Jack Walsh, of course, had a really good game against Ulster the last time they were playing at home. They lost their last game in the URC away to Edinburgh, but there was that really good win against Ulster. Now, watching them this season and watching their home games, they're very tough to beat. Like, they are ridiculously tough to beat. But I do feel that the teams that they have beaten this year are fairly woe-stricken whenever they do play them. Like the Sharks, for example, and Ulster. Ulster were in a fairly bad place when they came to play the Ospreys. And when I watched that game back, Ulster should have won that game by 10, 15 points. They had the opportunities to do so, overplayed. And this Ospreys team, they don't quit. So if it comes into the last 20 minutes and they're within a score, or we'll say 10 points down, they'll just keep playing. And, you know, you have to be, your concentration has to be really high when you're playing this team, because they won't go off script. They will Like, and when they get in and around inside your 10-meter line, they'll start going through the phases there, by the way. But there's a few ways I think we can get at them there as well. Let's just go through the Munster team for this and just have a quick run through them there. Back three, Mike Haley, Sean O'Brien and Shane Daly with Antoine Frisch and Rory Scandal in midfield. Alex Nankivell misses out on this one because he's following return to play protocols after a concussion he suffered last week in training. At halfback, Joey Carberry and Craig Casey. Craig Casey back from Ireland camp and straight in starting, as you'd expect. In the front row, we have Josh Witcherly, Niall Scannell and John Ryan. Of course, Ollie Yeager is getting checked out for a knee issue. That knee issue, by the way, it was aggravated in the Ireland camp, but he came over from the Crusaders with that knee issue. And the idea was that he would just go through the season, get it sorted out in the off season. I don't think it's an ACL or anything like that, but it's one of those things that you kind of have to mind those. So he came over with it, by all accounts. And has been managing it away. So yeah, you have Niall Scannell there as well. Spoke really well in the presser this week. If you haven't listened to it, do have a listen, because he's really upfront about how he came back into the team after injury. He had that, I can't exactly remember the words of it now. It's basically the same thing that Paul O'Connell had, which is like a kind of a groin muscle infection. And he was dealing with that for around 6 months. Came back in January because we badly needed him, and was basically coming in on no training. And this week just gone is the first week he's trained fully all season. So I've been really impressed with Niall Scannell in the last couple of games. And I think part of the reason for that is he's very upfront about what he is and what he brings. He's not Dan Sheehan. He's not Ronan Kelleher. Like, he's not that type of hooker. But what he is a great thrower, a really good scrummager, and he will rattle into rucks for you all day long, and he will carry off nine and soak up big tackles off nine. That's what he does. Very, very simple and very valuable, actually. When he has that role of being a tight carrier and, you know, being the master of the tap and no from short range, he rarely goes backwards, rarely goes forwards either. But getting a fella who will get to the gain line and stay there is actually fairly valuable. And his set piece, his line out throwing is fantastic. I would say up there with Dan Sheehan as being one of the best in Ireland, certainly. You can make an argument for one of the best in Europe as well for the variety of throws that he has. And the scrummaging as well, really, really strong part of his game. So they're going to be very important in this game as well. Now, looking at the Ospreys, their line out steal rate is one of the lowest in the URC. They also tend to give the opposition a fair number of throws as part of their kicking game. So that would seem to be an area where, if that holds, we should have a lot of mauling opportunities against them. Now, their primary line-out target is either going to be Rhys Davies or Justin Tipperick. They will have those as their primary, I would say. We can get at them quite a bit. They have a relatively low line-out completion rate. We have two really good line-out contesters in our second row starting. I'll get to them in a minute. Tom O'Hearn and Orgy Snaiman. That was the minute. So we can really get at them there as well if we choose to go down that route. But we have in the back row, John Hodnett, Alex Kendall, and who captains the side again, with Gavin Coombs at number 8. Our build relative to them is that we have a tight headlock power forward. We have a loose headlock edge forward in Tom O'Hearn. Both of those with a big offensive and defensive line-out focus. We have a strike wing forward, a heavy wing forward, and a power forward in Gavin Coombs. Half-lock power forward, I would say, because he's also a line-out option and does a lot of the stuff. Like, I mean, he is our second row cover here as well. Why have we gone for that build? On paper, I love this build, right? Because we have Jack O'Donoghue on the bench with Ruan Quinn. Ruan Quinn is he's the cover for John Hodnett, role for role, with Jack O'Donoghue coming in to go to number 8 as a sort of a heavy combo flanker when Gavin Coombs moves up into the second row for either Snyman or O'Hearn. So when you look at that build, why is it there? Well, one, they're really good players, and John Hodnett is back from injury, so he's raring to go. And his fitness will be really good as well because he's had a finger injury, so he's been training away all the entire time. Two small forwards against a team that kicks as long as the Ospreys is a smart build. One, they don't carry all that often, do the Ospreys. They don't. So, I mean, when you're in tight, yeah, you could say in theory, you could end up in trouble if they go like running through their build, because they have a lot of small forwards as well. Like, that won't really be an issue, right? Because again, we look at their lineouts lost. They're sixth overall, which again isn't massive, but their lineout success rate is 10th, right? They're 84%. So we can absolutely get at them there. But if you look at our build, that's the chase after the transition rooks. So if we know that they're going to kick the ball really long, and they'll do that off from multiple points, as in they'll do it from wide out with Hopkins or Keelan Giles. They'll do it from the pocket, Owen Williams or Hopkins. They'll do it off nine, Reuben Morgan Williams. Once we know that the ball's going to be moving downfield very quickly, and we will have to be able to resource those transition rooks. This is where the race is, right? It's a race between their transition defense and our offensive transition, where we will look to try and advance and get as much ground as we can off their long kicks, but we have to resource those rucks as well. That's the race. We have two small forwards, two really quick small forwards, who will look to get in there and prevent Rudolph, Tipperick, Morris, Parry, Smith, Cuthbert from getting in over the ball and stealing our breakdown. And you've got two guys there who are perfect for that in John Hodnett and Alex Kendall, and two guys who have massive offensive ruck work numbers, big accuracy, big physicality there as well. They'll be required to be the first on the scene and dominantly win those rucks. If we can hang on to the ball, we will score a lot of tries against these guys. If they start getting a few, you know, knock-on turnovers, or, you know, ball squirting out of the ruck, or, you know, breakdown steals, like full-on penalties, they will kick deep. We will still have a chance to get at them at the lineout. You know, Ahern, Snayman, we can worry them there because they don't have a whole ton of height like that, either on the bench or starting for them. So we can get at them there. We can get at Sam Parry's throw. But if we can hang on to the ball ourselves on the kicks that they will voluntarily give us, never mind the fact that we should get a whole load of lineouts and we should be able to take down our own ball more often than not, we can get at them in the mall and radiate a lot of stuff off that. This season, whenever they've looked really ropey, it's when teams have mauled against them. We have more size than they do starting, certainly. And if we can take advantage of that, we have the guys that can hurt them. And like, they can see the whole lot of maul tries and a lot of ground off mauls. So there's radiating opportunities from that. If we can use that as a platform based on the kicking game that they themselves use, we should win this game. But again, the Ospreys are sticky. They're sticky. They will kick their threes. They will stay patient, and you have to be patient if you kick as long as they do. We will have to not overdo it on transition as well, not get frustrated ourselves. Last time out, we came over with a very strong team and lost to them because our discipline was poor. Our discipline has to be really, really good here. We don't need to get after them at the breakdown either, by the way. We can get at their structures. Their structures are not overly complex. We can stay out of the ruck. We can just be physical and make them play if they decide to go down that route. But their primary job will be kicking long. If we're solid there, and we're solid on the first few transition rucks, we have the platform to win this game. And I hope we do. I will be back with a TRK Radio on this tonight. I haven't been able to do it the last couple of weeks, mainly because Baby has been going to bed around the same time that I would do TRK Radio. And that just hasn't worked, because Baby's going to bed, and babies need their sleep, as I do. But so look, I'll be back later on tonight with that. And I've got another podcast coming later on today in the 5 euro tier on the Under 20 Championship. So keep an eye out for that as well. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for being a TRK subscriber. I will talk to you again very, very soon.